In first century Israel, most especially during the time of today's Holy Gospel, the news wasn't great. There was questionable leadership made up of both government leaders and, as I reminded you last week in the sermon, the religious leaders as well. There was tragedy. There was lack of faith. But on the other hand, there was also wonderful miracles and signs of hope. The evidence is there for us to see. All we have to do is check the Gospel of John. You might recall at the very beginning of Lent, I suggested that if there was something that you were going to give up, it didn't need to be chocolate. The most precious gift would have been time to take a half hour a day or less and read just a half a chapter of the Gospel of John. It would bless and enlighten you, and I pray that if you are doing that, you are seeing miracle after miracle after wonder being done in the name of Jesus. In the Gospel, we learn that the people of Israel are walking around like sheep without a shepherd. They're longing for deliverance from their struggles. They're being suppressed by Rome. Jesus saw that they were spiritually hungering and thirsting for words of righteousness, for good news. And these people were ravenous and had no faithful spiritual pastors to feed them with knowledge and understanding. The scribes and the Pharisees were supposed to lead them and guide them, but these men who were supposed to be their shepherds were blinded by their own sin and most likely their own self-righteousness. They were pretty impressed with themselves. I'd like to suggest to you that these spiritual leaders were not leaders at all, but were men who were only out for their own gain and for the people to praise and exalt them and give reverence for the position, for the office that they held. Now, because the people had no shepherds, the people of Israel were dying from starvation for the truth. There was no spiritual food being given to them in the synagogues. Their king was off in one of his many luxurious palaces. And believe me, they're numerous. Or he was out carousing with his cohorts, lusting after women, or, the gospel tells us, beheading prophets. Let's face it, these people were desperate for leadership. And they were left destitute and hopeless. There seemed to be absolutely no way out for them. And then into their lives walks a man from Galilee, Jesus of Nazareth. Right in their very midst was a teacher, a preacher, a rabbi, a minister, a prophet, a healer, someone who came upon them like a breath of fresh air to the hungry souls and hopeless existence that they were living. Jesus' reputation had spread like wildfire. His name had become very well known, and everybody could tell that this man was different. He was not just some scribe who only cared for his own fortune. This man named Jesus, Yeshua, was different. He was a man who showed that he had compassion, a man who had answers for their questions. And more importantly, here was a man who actually practiced what he preached. Imagine that. His words were powerful, informative, and refreshing to one's soul. His words brought hope and a newness of life that every person longed for. He walked the talk. And so they followed him relentlessly. All four of the Gospels give a very detailed account of the miraculous event that was to come that conveyed the compassion and love of Jesus and his willingness to provide for those who are his followers. This was a perfect example of Jesus' desire to reach out in love and to use his power to benefit others. For no other reason than his love and compassion for those people. Jesus told his disciples, "Stop worrying about getting rid of the people. all this mass of people that were there in front of him. And he told them, as is recorded in the Gospels of Mark and Luke, "You give them something to eat." Jesus insisted that the disciples find out what bread was available, to check and see what might be back at the boat or somewhere in the crowd. The disciples returned with the answer. As a matter of fact, it's our beloved St. Andrew who brought the answer. And he said, "There are only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish belonging to a young boy." Jesus emphasized the word "you" in order to remind the disciples to start with what you've got before you ask God to give you more. By telling them, "You give them something to eat," and given that a denarius equals a day's wage, 200 denarii would be enough to feed the crowd. I believe that Jesus was stressing the sheer impossibility of doing this for the whole crowd, and that it was probably more than their resources could cover. Well, Scripture tells us that the apostles, the disciples, had just returned from their 2x2 road trip that Jesus had sent them on when they were called to go out in pairs, being empowered to heal and perform miracles 2x2. It's important for us to remember that this incredible miracle took place in Jesus' own hands and not in the hands of the disciples. You see, whatever we give to Jesus, he can bless and multiply. Isn't it remarkable to have a Lord and Savior who can solve our every problem, meet our every need, and then enable us to minister to others as well? Just as on that day in the Galilee, almost 2,000 years ago. I have to share with you an event that took place in the year 2003, just outside Pittsburgh, a suburb of Pittsburgh. I was asked to lead worship. I was a seminarian, and I was asked to lead worship at a church, filling in for a buddy of mine. So I was with my guitar, and I had the songs all set. And my friend, the seminarian who was their worship leader and doing his field work there at that church, was off with the rector at a special retreat. So not only did they have a substitute worship leader, they also had a substitute priest that day and preacher. The gospel, you might have guessed, was about the feeding of the 5,000. When this guest preacher began to preach, to my shock and to many in the congregation, he quickly took the power away from Jesus and gave it to the crowd. He called this not a miracle by Jesus, but the miracle of sharing. You see, he said the crowd followed the example of the young boy who offered his 5 loaves and 2 fish, and so they took out their lunch and shared it with everybody as well. I can vividly remember the words of our young daughter, Teresa, who blurted out in the middle of the congregation. If you know Teresa, she's not shy. She blurted out, "That's not what happened." And I'm so pleased to tell you that the words of this young lady restored the blessing of the miracle of Christ that day to everyone present, except the preacher. How I wish I could have been present that day. I've stood on the shore of the Sea of Galilee where this feeding of the 5,000 took place and saw the mountain where Jesus repaired to after the blessing and the miracle. He most probably said these words, "Baruch atah Adonai Elokeinu melech ha'olam hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz." You all know those words. Well, you know them better as, "Blessed art thou, Lord, our God and our King, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth." The remarkable and wonderful thing is that the blessing was not of the food, but it was of God the Father, God who gave the miracle. Jesus looked up to heaven, trusting in the Father for a miraculous provision of food. And then he broke the loaves into pieces, divided the fish into portions, and gave, which in the Greek imperfect tense used meant kept giving. It just didn't stop. How do you get 12 baskets of leftovers from 5 loaves and 2 fish? Certainly not by neighbors pulling out from their pouches their lunch. But Almighty God made something happen through his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And he kept giving the portions to his disciples to then give to the people. Little by little, piece by piece, Jesus began to break away pieces of the bread and the fish. The more he broke off and gave away, the more that was left. What a miracle that was. How I wish I could have been a fly on the wall that day. Amazing. Jesus didn't just take the fish and turn it into 2 giant whales that then could have been split up amongst everybody, or 5 huge loaves of Wonder Bread that could have been torn off and shared amongst everybody. No. He didn't turn anything into a huge portion. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Little by little, piece by piece, Jesus would take a piece and give it away until all 5,000 men, their wives, and their children were filled. The provision of this miracle is extraordinary and it is abundant. Now, the count of 5,000 men, which is a pretty large crowd by anyone's standards, did not include women and children. So if you put all that together, the number was more like 10,000 people. Wow. And they were all grouped together for a meal according to Jewish custom. Can you imagine if I asked our ushers today to count only the men who are present at the service? The number would vary differently. Look around. We have a great mixture of men, women, and youngsters here who are present. The numbers would change if we had just counted the men. Jesus' words, "You give them something to eat," were meant specifically for that particular event. But those words caused my heart to stir and my mind to jump instantly to Matthew chapter 25 as Jesus tells the account of the sheep and the goats. You might recall, the Son of Man tells the sheep, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." And then Jesus tells the goats, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me." And his words, by the way, are also the fulfillment that was prophesied in 2 Kings 4:43. Regarding 20 loaves of bread, when the man of God said, "Give them to the people that they may eat, for thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over." This miracle with leftovers was not just a surprise. It had been foretold years before. On a nearby mountain hillside in that very same Galilee region, Jesus taught these words in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, commonly called the Beatitudes. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." In a time filled with unrighteousness and a people searching for a shepherd, Jesus Christ's words ring true. There was a questionable leadership, both in government as well as religious leaders. There was tragedy. There was a lack of faith. But on the other hand, there were miracles and there was hope. Signs of hope. Well, this time I'm not talking about 2,000 years ago, but instead I'm speaking of this very day, today. Isn't it funny that we look back at times when Christ lived and think how much we have grown as a people and how primitive those times were compared to today? But I have to ask you, have we really grown? Leadership today may have more bells, buzzers, and whistles, but we only need to look at the news and see the leaders, both political and spiritual, who are doing the same old that was being done in the first century. Religious freedoms are being threatened and are being taken away. There are issues regarding health care and personal rights. We're surrounded by religious leaders who are forsaking the authority of Holy Scripture and trivializing God's word by calling it a nice story. But that was just a story. Sad to say that there are people walking around like sheep without a shepherd. And the answer to this, my friends, is all the same. It's found in Psalm 23, in the very first word. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Jesus is still the only answer for the hunger and thirst of mankind. Today there are multitudes of people that lead their daily lives without a shepherd. I must tell you, my heart is breaking. Our son John has a friend who just returned from Los Angeles. And John's ministering to this young man because he's contemplating suicide. He's wandering around. This young Muslim man is wandering around like a sheep without a shepherd. Please pray for Todd. Jesus is the only answer in his life and in so many. I wonder how many people will attend a church today and not hear a message that even mentions the blood of Jesus, or his sacrifice on the cross, or his death, burial, and resurrection. I wonder how many will attend a church today where the name of Jesus isn't even mentioned, where no message of salvation or repentance is given, or where the topic of sin is even addressed. I wonder how many people will attend a church where the Holy Word of God is replaced by poetry or prose. And in some, the words from Buddha and the words from the Quran. It's sad, but it is true. And it is happening in this country. Living the gospel of Jesus Christ and following his instructions that he gave to us in his holy word is the prescription that is needed. Sharing the gospel is life-giving. That doesn't mean standing on a street corner and thumping on your Rolly Bible, or going door to door to preach to people, but instead inviting neighbors and friends to speak with you. It might be on the line at Harvey's. It could be at Zaxby's, for goodness sake, or it could be at Burger King. Invite neighbors to talk to you. Make them wonder why it is that you're smiling all the time, because you have something. You have someone in your life that you'd love to tell them about. Sharing the love of Christ in everything you do. Giving people something to eat is not just physical. It's spiritual as well. Whatever you have, whoever you are, whatever you can do, no matter how small it may seem in your eyes or in the eyes of others, God can use it to perform a miracle if we submit it to his hands. Can you imagine that young boy who had 5 small barley loaves and 2 fish that day? When he woke up that morning, he had no idea of how he was going to help the people present that day and how the Lord would take his small offering and turn it into an abundant feast with leftovers. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Jesus loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. Jesus loves all of us so much, he wants to use us, faults and all, warts and all, doubts and fears, with our limited time, our talents, and our understanding. He will begin to mold us, to use us, little by little, piece by piece, until your life is a miracle in progress, being used to build and feed his kingdom. I believe we will witness a miracle, one that will come with leftovers. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.